We'll go back up to Sothron and Palmer. Yes, you may.
Good morning, Your Honors. David Zuckerman, representing Simon Southern. I'm hoping to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal, if I may.
Very well.
I would like to focus on the trial court's failure to impose restrictions on the mother, Megan Palmer. The statute at issue is RCW 26.09.1913F, and it provides that the court may impose restrictions if a parent has withheld from the other parent access to the child for a protracted period of time. We have no benefit of case law regarding this provision, but my position would be that as a matter of law, this provision applied in this case. It was undisputed that Ms. Palmer withheld the children from Mr. Southern for over 5 months. And it was quite clear from the evidence the reason she did that was simply because he would not give her all the money that she wanted, even though he was providing her with vastly more money than the child support schedules.
No, the trial court concluded that that was part of it, but also found that there were other factors involved. Were those factors not supported by the evidence?
Well, I would say that those were untenable reasons. First of all, as to the sequence of events here, initially the mother made no claim that there were any problems with the father having the children. In fact, she left suddenly with no notice, leaving the children with the father. And took, I don't know, several days, about 3 days, before anyone even knew where she was. For the next month, the parties were managing to take turns with the children. But things fell apart, and the emails and text messages came into trial on this. The reason things fell apart was because Ms. Palmer was unsatisfied with the amount of money that Mr. Southern was giving her. There were no orders in effect at this time, but he was giving her about $4,500 a month, about four and a half times what the court eventually ordered. But she wanted a new car, she wanted more money, and she began sending text messages threatening, saying, if you don't, you obviously, you know, don't care about the children because you're not willing to support us properly, and if you don't give me what you want, you can just forget about getting the children back. That was undisputed. Much later, she was saying, oh, well, that wasn't the only reason. There was also harassment and stalking of one of the children. It was never clear exactly what this harassment was supposed to be. As far as stalking,
just about any other appeal coming up here and re-arguing the facts to this court will avail you nothing, Mr. Zuckerman. So if you'd please focus on just exactly how the trial court abused its discretion, I would appreciate it. Otherwise, you're really just burning time.
Well,
we do review the record. We are thoroughly familiar with the facts. You have to show an abuse of discretion. And at least from your briefing, I don't think that's been demonstrated. So show me an abuse of discretion. Focus your argument, please. Don't review the facts.
Very well, Your Honor. I guess we should keep in mind there are two components to this restriction, to this statute, which is one, that it be a protracted period of time, and two, that it was done without good cause. I would say that it is clear from the text messages itself that this was done without good cause. And I would also ask the court to find that even if there could be some mixed reason or some other reason, that there should at least be a finding that the primary reason was for good cause. rather than simply saying, well, yes, there's no question that we have bad cause here, but seems like there were some other reasons, too. The judge, by the way, made no written findings on this. We just have some cryptic comments on the record. As for the matter of a protracted, of it being a protracted withholding, the court's comments were puzzling. For some reason, she found that that all the time that the kids were withheld, the first 3 months shouldn't count at all. It was only, she made a statement that, well, it was a relatively short time from September 30th until the court was issuing orders. That's the quote. I don't know what the court meant by that, but it was absolutely undisputed that it was at the end of June that that Ms. Palmer began withholding the children. What happened on September 30 was finally Mr. Southerin made a motion to have a parenting plan in place. But I think the court should find as a matter of law that if one party takes the other party's children away at a time when there are no court proceedings going on, that counts as part of the protracted period. And we have here a total of 5 months, which I think should, again, as a matter of law, be considered protracted, to have your children withheld from you. It was undisputed that as far as the stalking thing, it was simply that Mr. Southerin approached DP, that's the oldest child, who was actually not Mr. Southerin's child, but he had been a father to him for 7 years, approached him on the street at one point and started talking with him. Mr. Southerin's account was it was an accidental encounter. Ms. Palmer felt it was on purpose. Either way, I would suggest that as a matter of law, that is not the mere fact that that Mr. Southerin is going to talk to this child who has been essentially his son for all this time, with no order saying he couldn't, can hardly create good cause for withholding all of the children for 5 months. Perhaps I should stop here then and save the rest of my time for rebuttal.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Kate Forrest for the respondent, Megan Palmer. Counsel asked the Court to find that Section 3F applied as a matter of law, but the Section 3 to RCW 2609191 is explicitly discretionary. The parent's involvement or conduct may have an adverse effect on the child's best interests, and the court may preclude or limit any provisions of the parenting plan if one of these factors exists. So as a clear reading of the statute, the trial court has discretion to apply these factors or not. There's no requirement that if there is a withholding, that the court impose certain restrictions. The first two sections of 191 are mandatory. If those things are found, then the court must restrict certain provisions of the parenting plan. Section 3 is completely different. And
the court engaged in extensive findings and conclusions regarding the application of Section 3.
Pardon me, Your Honor, I didn't hear.
And the court engaged in extensive findings and conclusions regarding the provisions of the statute.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. And so there was an argument that this was based on untenable reasons, but as Your Honor mentioned, the court clearly found that there was good cause, even if it was mixed within other questionable causes. Counsel argues in his brief that there couldn't have been any harassment or domestic violence, that this was found not to be present at the protection order hearing at the beginning, but that was resolved anew by the trial court. They're not bound by a dismissal of a protection order by an earlier court. And this court applied the behavioral definition of domestic violence, which is encouraged by the DV manual for judges that's put out by the Administrative Office for the Courts, which is ongoing behavior of inappropriate control and domination. And so it was within the court's discretion to find that it was permissible to want to exclude the children from that scenario until a proper parenting plan could be put in place, until the father could start to get some treatment. And so there was good reason for her withholding. Whether or not the period was protracted is irrelevant if the other prong of without good cause is not also satisfied. So I don't think it's necessary to address the time. I'm not sure if Your Honors want me to address the other issues or strictly limit this to the withholding, since that's all that was.
One question. The temporary limits on travel to Australia for 18 months, that runs out in another couple weeks, doesn't it, if I'm correct?
I believe so.
Yeah. A factual question. Thanks.
Okay. So I was prepared to argue some of the other issues in the briefs, but I'm not sure if I'm limited to respond.
You're not. You have 6 minutes left, and you can do with it as you wish.
Okay.
I think we don't need to hear argument. You can ask the court if it has any further questions. Oh. If it doesn't, then you might be well advised to retire the side.
Thank you, Your Honors. This is my first time here, so I appreciate your indulgence. does the court have any further questions? Thank you, Your Honor.
And I might start in response to Judge Varellan. Actually, my count was that there may be about 3 months left before we've hit the 18-month period. Maybe I counted wrong.
August 21 parenting plan?
That sounds right.
So 18 months.
Your math may be better than mine. In any event, I think that was a clear abuse of discretion, but I'm not arguing it here, partly because it's going to become moot soon. As for the point that that it is discretionary to place restrictions if there is a protracted withholding of the children, you know, the same can be said for the provision that the judge used to restrict Mr. Southern, which was 3G, the sort of catch-all provision. And as I read the statute, it is not discretionary whether or not to make a finding that that a provision applies. It is then discretionary as far as what you're going to do about it. And I think at the very least we should have a remand here with the recognition that this restriction does apply, or this factor does apply to the mother, and to see how the judge would then sort that out. I want to note also that, as I say and point out in my brief, I do think that the court's findings of restrictions against Mr. Southern were not supported by substantial evidence, and I go through all of the judge's points in turn to show why the evidence truly does not support them. I would also note that it is important for the court to recognize some limitations on this catch-all provision, because without recognizing that it does require some sufficient showing of harm, there's just too much danger that we have rulings simply based on judges' personal preferences. And I think the Wicklin court said it well, in that there has to be a true showing that the behavior of the parent would endanger the child's emotional, physical, or mental health. And I think at least when the facts are looked at properly in this case, there was no such showing here. Unless there are any questions, I would stop there, Your Honors.
All
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.